it's quite shocking when I think about it, because I played piano for over 30 years now, and I've never played a serious work by a woman composer. I feel like it was a really kind of a lucky idea, because it led me to this beautiful discovery.
That beautiful discovery has become a new recording from pianist Anna Schellest. The recording is titled Dona Voce. You'll have a chance to find out more about the women's voices that are shared on this recording and how Anna Schellest discovered she has something in common with these composers. That's all just ahead on this edition of New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. I'm Julia Macher. Anna, your new recording is titled Dona Voce, which in Latin means grant us a voice. Why did you choose this title for this recording?
Well, at first I was thinking of actually Italian language, because we use Italian for all the tempo markings, usually in music. So because it also would mean woman's voice in Italian. So that was kind of my first idea. Because I wanted to use kind of the language that we use in music often. And then it became something that has meaning in Latin as well. But that was really my first train of thought.
So you're featuring women from three different centuries who have created compositions. And I'm wondering how you selected the repertoire for this recording.
So this program came about as an idea for recital. So over the last few years, I did a few kind of interesting projects where music was a little bit outside of the mainstream repertoire. And I thought, I've never played women composers. I thought it would be interesting to see what I can find. And I really had no expectations at first. I did not know which century it would be. Would it be three centuries or one? I just was looking for interesting repertoire and music that would fascinate me, would make it interesting for me to practice, and the type of music that I would want to hear myself if I would go to a piano recital. And I went to the library, I got a bunch of books, I found quite a lot of things online. I think actually online it's much easier to find this music, because it was quite tricky to find. And then I took time just playing through volumes of music and music on my iPad that I downloaded. And gradually I kind of compiled the pieces that I found spoke to me in the most kind of convincing way. And then I just put together a recital the way I would put any recital program. I wanted to have variety. I wanted to have different styles, different time periods. And, you know, now we have a final result is in the album. But it was really something I just was curious about the subject, and it led me to pursue it as a piano program.
It's interesting to me to hear you say that it was the first time you really sought out women composers. Why is that? Why was now the right time?
I don't really know. I think it's quite shocking when I think about it, because I played piano for over 30 years now, and I've never played a serious work by a woman composer. And I think this is the case actually with most musicians. And it's really fascinating to play this program for pianists, because usually when you play for a room full of pianists, people know everything that you play, because, you know, we have a very vast repertoire, but it is standard, and you really, by the time you spend decades playing the piano, you know most of it. And this music is really completely unknown. So I actually find great freedom as a performer playing new music that's actually not new, but it is new to the listeners today. You know, I'm not, of course, the first one who plays music by women composers. So when I was kind of researching on the subject, there are other recordings, of course. But it's just not something that I came across before. And if I think to all of the recitals that I've been to in my life, I don't remember ever seeing like a pianist playing works by women composers. I thought it would be just a kind of an interesting idea to explore myself. And I feel like it was kind of a lucky idea because it led me to this beautiful discovery.
As I listened to the music on this recording, one of the things that really struck me was how dramatic and athletic many of these pieces are. And at the time when these women were writing this music, that was something they were actually criticized for. I'm thinking of Cécile Chaminade, who she was criticized for, you know, her salon pieces being too feminine, if you will, but then her larger works were, her concert pieces were considered to be too strong and virile.
Yes.
How do you find these pieces?
Well, I think perhaps my background influences the choices of the music here, because I love very dramatic pieces with a lot of virtuosity. I find it's really fun as a performer. And I think I just gravitated towards these pieces because they reflect my personality as a musician. And I think another pianist would find something else in this repertoire. There are lots of music out there. I think this is just one way of looking in it, just one very small part of what is out there. So I kind of presented it to the audience from my perspective that reflects my taste in music.
Why do you think these works have withstood the test of time, the works that you've chosen for this recording? Because you were able to find them and then learn them so they exist, even though we don't hear them as often as we might like to.
Well, I don't know if I can say they withstood the test of time, because I've certainly never heard of them. And I must say that I think we need to have a performing tradition of something before we can say that something withstood test of time. And I hope more and more pianists will play this music. So we have a tradition of performance of this music. There must be many different interpretations of it. And then we could say, I don't know, in 50 years, okay, is that a part of the repertoire? Do people want to hear it? And I sort of feel like today, maybe over the last few years, there have been a few recordings by women composers. This is where we started to discover this music. And now it's a time where I think the musicians could learn this piece and bring to the audience. And then it's up to the audience to say, okay, we want this music to be part of our lives. I sort of think this is what the time is for now, just I feel like we're in the process of rediscovering these works now.
Interesting. That's interesting, because I was reading one review of this recording, and maybe you came across it, and the writer first said that these pieces should not be considered good because they are female composers, but because they're good composers. But then he went on to say, women are more personable and socially outgoing and confident than men, which is probably why there seems to be more women performing musicians and singers these days than there are men, because composing is a solitary, introverted activity better suited to the male persona. I felt like he was actually contradicting what
yeah.
he said.
Well,
did you come across
yes,
that?
Yes, I did. It was hard to kind of make, I didn't really know what to make of it, because, yes, I found it just, it didn't make sense to me, because I think if you just read a little bit about these women, you know what was the challenges of their life. You know, like Fanny Mendelssohn, she was older sister of Felix, and if she was born a boy, she would have completely different life. Because even though she and her brother, they had similar education when they were children, as they were growing up, their social status and roles in society dictated what they could and could not do. So I think, you know, there is no way of knowing what would happen if she was born a male. But to say that these historical things are irrelevant to their work and lives and their ability to create, I think it's just kind of a nonsense. So, and also perhaps, you know, maybe this reviewer, he heard the music by women composers before and he is more knowledgeable about it. I don't know, but this is the first time I'm playing this, and this is the first time that most of my audience hears this music. So I thought actually making a point that this is a recital of women composers, that you can actually go to the concert and hear music by women, the entire concert, and you'll be satisfied with its quality and it will feel relevant to you today. That was kind of the whole point. But, you know, people have their, you know, different opinions, and art, of course, it's such a subjective matter. But it didn't make sense to me that opinion. I thought it was, I was a little confused as what he was saying.
I was intrigued to read a little bit more about Fanny Mendelssohn, how she was suppressed because of what her father thought a girl should do and be. Yet her husband, Wilhelm Hensel, who was a painter and an artist, wanted her to continue mm-hmm. to compose, and he would leave out some blank manuscript paper on her music stand in the morning and say, fill this up.
Yes,
fill this up
yes.
while I'm gone today. So it's kind of interesting that he was encouraging her to compose, yet I suppose she still didn't have the opportunity to get the music out there to the public.
Well, you know, I think in Fanny's case, she had a really amazingly creative life. It just was not in a public eye. Although it was in a public, it was very close circle, because she performed for her family. They had a Sunday afternoon concerts. It was very prestigious a place to go and listen to music. It was just not attended by critics, and it was not something that could be a source of work for her. But she had very rich creative life. It just, we don't know much about it, but I think she was able to create so much, and so much of it is unexplored, that I'd love personally to play more of her music and see what else I can find. And because what I've seen and played from her, I thought were just really stunningly beautiful and pianistic, and there's just so much more I'm sure I will find.
You opened the recording with Fanny's Sonata in G Minor. What intrigues you about that work? What do you like about it?
So I really was very intrigued with the opening of it, because I think it's very important what is the first piece on the program, because I think it kind of sets the tone for the whole recital. I love that low tremolo and very dramatic first movement. It's rather short, but has a lot of, I think it's almost very extroverted in its feeling. I think in her music, she was really, in this piece, she was really able to maybe manifest more extroverted sides of her personality. I just love that it's a rather large sonata. It's a very serious piece, but it has a lot of variety. Each movement sets a very unique atmosphere, so I just loved learning it. I had really the most fascinating time kind of really getting to know this work, and I know it will be part of my repertoire for many years. I hope to play it many more times.
There are three works by the American composer Amy Chaney Beach, starting with her Ballade Opus 6. What do you love about that piece?
This was also one of the first pieces that I played, and she explores the tonality language very beautifully. They're very interesting modulations. Harmonic language is very unique to her, That's something that I picked up right away when I began to play through her pieces. And I just think ballade, it's one of the very common things that you hear and you see on the piano programs. And I just thought it has very strong sense of narrative. Like it's really a ballade. You're really telling a story with it. And from the three pieces that I'm playing, it has the most intricate kind of voicing. There's a lot of counterpoint in it. And nothing is conventional about her piano writing. It's very, very unique.
Clara Schumann's 200th birth anniversary is going to be marked in September, so it's nice to see her Scherzo Opus 14 here, which does reflect a little bit the stylings of Chopin. What else do you find challenging about this piece?
Well, this is a very strong virtuosic piece, and I just thought perhaps it represents her personality as a virtuoso, because she was one of the most well-known pianists of her day. She was one of the first people who would give solo concerts without any other artists. It was just enough her name to draw the audience, and I think it just embodies this virtuosic style of the 19th century. And it's very pianistic, again, so that's something that in all of the pieces to me was very important, that it feels like you are you're playing the work by a pianist, and it feels like it's not transcribed for the piano, but the actual piano virtuoso wrote the work.
Lily Boulanger had a very short career because she only lived to be 24 years old, and you've included a short prelude from her. Would you talk about that, please?
So Lily Boulanger, she did not write a lot of works for piano, and the first music that I came across from her were actually choral music that is so just stunningly beautiful. So when I found the manuscript of this piece, and I played just first few bars, it just creates such a beautiful atmosphere. It's kind of almost divine. She just creates this magical world in this short piece. And she doesn't write any markings there, you know, in the prelude. So I kind of took it upon myself. Again, there's no tradition of this, to create work. I think of a big cathedral when I play this prelude. You know, it has a very stately, and it's almost like you have this bell in the bass that is constantly there. I just find this work really magnificent in its beauty.
The recording closes out with a work that crosses genres. It's a rhapsody toccata, and it's a very, very virtuosic piece by a composer from Taiwan. Her name is Chayu Su. What was the most difficult part about learning this piece? Because it sounds very challenging.
Well, I think when you start reading something, because it's rather complicated in its way it's written, you have a sense of what it would be, and you hope it's as good as you imagined it in your mind. So in this case, it was actually even better than I thought when I finally was able to play it properly. But I, you know, immediately in her writing, you perceive a very high level of skill. It's very skillfully done for the pianist, even though some things might sound very unconventional. It feels like this is the only way to write it. But mainly, I really wanted to have the last work to be kind of fireworks at the concert, and it has some cool effects. You know, when I cover the two bolts that I put on the very low strings, and then I'm covering some strings in the middle section. It all adds kind of interesting, almost theatrical element to a live performance. And just to hear a piano in an unexpected way is fun.
Anna, as you were putting this recording together, did you learn anything about yourself? And if so, what was that?
That's a very interesting question. Well, I guess every composer brings or uncovers a different part of your personality. One thing I must say, when I was starting this, I thought, well, would I feel any difference playing like the entire program by women? If there is some kind of, I would feel differently, or there is some kind of, you know, different experience I would have. And I must admit, I actually didn't really think that the gender of the composer made any difference in the way I felt about the music. I think it was either relevant to me or not. So I thought that was kind of interesting, because I never thought about it up until this point, because we always played music by men composers. But again, I don't think I relate to their manliness. You know, it's not what really I think the point of the relationship to composer is. I think it's things that kind of transcend our limitations as humans. But I think that maybe was kind of something that I didn't think before. That if it's something that is great art and it's relevant to you, it's just great because as a music itself. And because if you think about it, I really have very little in common with the lives of these women. You know, they lived in a completely different world. But yet I felt that this music, it just speaks to me as somebody living in the 21st century.
Ukrainian-born composer Anna Shelest finding freedom in the voices of women composers on her new recording Dona Voce. That's New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. If you're enjoying New Classical Tracks, the absolute best thing you can do for the show is to tell somebody about it, help spread the word, and take a moment to rate and review us on your podcasting app. New Classical Tracks comes to you from American Public Media, with special thanks to Valerie Kaler for producing this episode. I'm Julie Amacher.